Hi, I'm Kevin Clark, Chief Correspondent for America Magazine, and I'm at Vienna at the International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons. And I'm speaking with one of the keynote speakers here, Eric Schlosser, author of Command and Control, which is a piece of journalism taking a very kind of terrifying look at the state of nuclear readiness over the years in the United States. And Eric, why don't we talk a little bit about your book real fast. You obviously spent, I believe you said, 6 years researching that book, and you've uncovered a lot of terrifying things. What to you was the most terrifying discovery you made about the state of nuclear readiness in the United States?
That the difference between safety and catastrophe in the United States has come down to a single switch or a single wire, and that we've had numerous accidents with our own nuclear weapons that could have destroyed American cities.
And you made the point yesterday here at the conference that, as terrifying as some of the things you discovered about the U.S. over the years, a bomb that fell off the coast of North Carolina, a detonation that occurred after a dropped wrench in a silo, we don't know about what's happened in other countries that are hosting nuclear weapons.
We don't, and I'm very critical of the management of the American arsenal in my book, but at the same time, I met a lot of the people who ran our nuclear complex, and they were very patriotic, very competent people. We invented this technology. We have more experience with it than any other country. So I would hate to see what a similar book about the Russian arsenal would say, or the Pakistani arsenal. At the end of the book, I look at the rate of industrial accidents in other countries that have nuclear weapons as a rough measure of their ability to manage complex technological systems. And it's not encouraging. So this is a very high-risk technology, and the margin of error is slim. And if there's a serious mistake, you could have a major catastrophe.
And that's obviously the major point of your book, and a point that a lot of the people here are raising, that we have achieved a certain complacency about our nuclear arsenal, that it keeps us safe from the threat the threat from the Russian Federation, such as it contemporarily exists. But you made the point that any country that maintains a nuclear arsenal is probably not as safe as it thinks it is.
Any country that has nuclear weapons fully assembled is putting itself at risk of a catastrophic accident. And you could argue for some countries having these weapons is more dangerous than any threat they may face from their potential adversary. When we captured the blueprints for the Iraqi nuclear weapons after the first Gulf War, one UN inspector said those things would have detonated if they fell off a table, and they were vulnerable to detonation if they were hit by a rifle bullet. So it's a learning curve with all sorts of technologies, and in the book I go through the learning curve that we in the United States experience with our nuclear weapons, so that today our weapons are much safer than they were 40 or 50 years ago, but other countries that are new nuclear powers haven't been through that learning curve, and it can be quite disastrous if you don't know what you're doing.
And this is part of the reason the folks here are pursuing, a lot of them, I understand there's probably a split in terms of strategy here, but the ultimate goal for a lot of the campaigners that are organizing here in Vienna is a complete ban on not just any sort of arsenal, strategic defense of nuclear weapons. Now, a lot of so-called American realists would find that to be a fairly troubling idea, that you would surrender the deterrent value of a nuclear arsenal. Do you think people here have a decent response to that sort of challenge?
It sounds like a pretty radical idea, and yet it was supported by President Truman, President Eisenhower, President Kennedy, Carter, Reagan, and now Obama.
So, and we also have some support for it from some characters people might not expect, like George Shultz and Henry Kissinger.
Quite a few of the Reagan foreign policy and defense officials support it. So I do support the abolition of nuclear weapons in the same way that those other American leaders have. How you get to zero is a subject that's open to all kinds of discussion and debate. And I'm open to all kinds of ideas about how to get there. But that is the goal. And short of having no nuclear weapons tomorrow afternoon at 3, what we need to do is reduce the number that the countries that have them possess in their arsenal. and prevent any other countries from getting them. One less weapon is one less accident, one less potential act of mass murder. So the disarmament process has gotten somewhat derailed, thanks to Mr. Putin, but hopefully that's a temporary blip. The United States has a nuclear arsenal today about 80% smaller than it was at the height of the Cold War, and the Russian arsenal may be 90% smaller than it was at the height of the Cold War. That is absolutely terrific, and that's the sort of trend that we need to see continued. China is increasing the size of its arsenal. Pakistan has the fastest growing arsenal in the world, and I think those are very dangerous trends.
Now, some people would say if we abolish nuclear weapons in the West, that would make us hostage to any sort of group that is capable of putting together even one nuclear warhead to constitute a threat to the West. Is there, you think, an adequate response to that challenge here?
Well, the abolition of nuclear weapons wouldn't just occur unilaterally by the United States. It would occur with all kinds of inspection regimes to make sure that others don't cheat. When you're talking about nuclear weapons, it's possible to just assemble one of them. But as a military power, you need an entire nuclear weapons complex like we have in the United States. These are machines that need to be maintained. There's all kinds of need for various equipment and processing facilities. So it would be pretty easy to know if a country is cheating and has an arsenal of weapons. A country might be able to produce one weapon and threaten the United States with it. But the United States has the greatest conventional military the world has ever seen. And there are other ways to deter a country besides the use of nuclear weapons. The United States has had nuclear weapons since 1945, and yet we fought wars with North Korea, with Vietnam. We fought many wars, and we were attacked on 9/11, and our nuclear weapons did not serve as a deterrent in those conflicts. So I think, you know, I'm not saying that all weapons of all kinds must be eliminated in another week. This is a very specific type of weapon. And at the highest levels of the American military, there are real questions about the usefulness of nuclear weapons. We have conventional weapons that can do every military task that nuclear weapons might do. During the first Gulf War, when it looked like the Iraqis might use chemical weapons against us, they did a study, the Joint Chiefs did a study under Colin Powell of how we might use nuclear weapons on the battlefield against Iraq. The conclusion was that there'd be too much collateral damage, too many other effects, you know, radiation, contaminated landscape. So nuclear weapons are most useful for killing large numbers of civilians, and I would hope that in the 21st century that is a mentality that we can get rid of.
Yeah, I find it's after 2 days here at this event, I'm still waiting for... Maybe it's just understood by so many people that there is the moral plane we've heard a lot about logistical problems, environmental collateral damage from use of nuclear warheads or accidents, but I've yet to hear someone really bring up the basic morality of having these weapons of mass destruction as part of your national arsenal.
Well, I tried to briefly last night in my talk when I basically said, you know, conventional deterrence theory basically means with nuclear weapons threatening to annihilate the civilian population of your adversary. And morally, it's quite similar to the hostage-taking of medieval Europe. And in the 21st century, I'd like to think that we've moved past that sort of thinking. The Geneva Convention prohibits the deliberate targeting of civilians. And so it's in violation of the Geneva Convention. And on the whole, American military philosophy today is all about the use of precision weapons, about minimizing civilian casualties. And nuclear weapons have the exact opposite effect.
And you were talking about it during your speech. The first thing we have to do is break that framework, that complacency of thinking, be kind of lulled into this false security of decades of the idea that deterrence is protecting us, and create a new paradigm, which you were describing last night.
The old paradigm was that these weapons are keeping us safe. I think a real close look at the history, and particularly at the future, is that these weapons pose an existential threat to our existence. I feel, for example, very strongly that Iran should not get nuclear weapons. I think that Iran having nuclear weapons will endanger the Iranian people as much as it will endanger their neighbors, and you'd have a new nuclear arms race in the Middle East. So I feel very strongly that we should have no more countries with nuclear weapons, and those countries that possess them today must in good faith really begin to shrink the size of their arsenals and eventually eliminate them.
Okay, thanks so much. I've been talking with Eric Schlosser here in Vienna at the International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons. Thanks for visiting us here at AmericaMagazine.org.